My name's Wayne Inge. I represent Jesse Burnett. I was not trial counsel. In looking at this, I've sort of tried to interrogate sort of the legal, the practical requirements that were placed on Mr. Burnett. The conditions that caused the child to be taken into custody of social services had absolutely nothing to do with Mr. Burnett. Now, I'm not making that argument to say that because he's blameless in that he should get some special consideration before you all today. But I'm pointing that out that because the programs, the services that were offered him by social services had nothing to do with why the child was taken into custody in the first place, at least as far as Mr. Burnett was concerned. Mr. Burnett's problem was very simple. He was a career criminal. He couldn't stay out of jail. I mean, there's no other way to dress that up.
Well, let me stop you right there, Mr.
Sure.
Because if, you know, and that clearly is supported by the record. You're absolutely, your candor is refreshing. But the fact that someone decides to be a career criminal and go to jail on an ongoing basis pretty much takes them out of the realm of the possibility of being a fit parent, doesn't it? I mean, how do you raise children if you're constantly going to jail? Isn't it that simple?
That is absolutely correct, Your Honor. I have no problem with that whatsoever. It's just that the way this case came to social service, or rather the way the case came to the circuit court, you know, social services assigned, if you will, I'm going to characterize it that way, homework for Mr. Burnett, okay, which pretty much it was impossible for him to do. So the fact that he failed to do those tasks, though, you know, isn't proof that, I'm struggling with how to characterize this, but it just isn't evidence that he has failed without cause to remedy the conditions that brought the child into the custody of social services in the first place.
Well, counsel, how has he not, in that if the mother is obviously you have a mother here that's out of the picture, but if the mother's not able to have custody of the child, then you've got the father. Once he was notified that he's a legal parent here, then it was incumbent upon him to assume custody and the care for that child. And, of course, he couldn't do that because he was incarcerated.
Absolutely.
And had some other issues. So the department, it appears from everything I've read, the department gave him, as you said, some homework, but gave him certain things that he needed to do that would make him a better parent if he could stay out of jail long enough. And that was the problem. He couldn't, and thank you for being so straightforward, as Judge Humphrey said, he couldn't stay out of jail long enough. So the department, then he asked that the department look at, of course, and they're required to, they're mandated to look at family placement. And that didn't work out either. I think his mother was caring for one child and had a tumor. So ultimately, how does that not fit? How do you overcome the fact that he was not able within a 12-month period of time to remedy the conditions which led the department to have the child out of his custody?
Let me answer that question slightly. I'm not trying to avoid it directly, but he apparently had no history with social services. The mother did. Okay, so when the services were assigned, I mean, I think it's a reasonable inference that he has no history of being a good parent, or he has no history of having the opportunity to learn to be a good parent. But it's in the sense of these tasks that were assigned him to do by social services, there was no evidence that he actually ever needed them. I mean, I think we can infer that he needed them, but there was no evidence there that he needed them.
Well, clearly, he couldn't take care of the financial needs of the child. He couldn't parent the child while he was incarcerated. How could he serve the best interests of the child if he couldn't be present with the child?
Judge, I agree with you 100%.
Plus, just to add to that, he was not incarcerated the entire time. He was out between October 2016 and February 2017, and even during that period of time failed to meet any of the requirements DSS to by way of learning how to be a parent, essentially.
I agree on those intermittent periods that he was on, because apparently the record was not developed as to why he was going back to jail in terms of whether these were new charges, whether they were revocations. I mean, the record
in
is...
In any event, they were due to his own behavior.
Absolutely.
And it seems to me the controlling case here is Harris versus Lynchburg, Division of Social Services, which is a Supreme Court case from 82, which says that a defendant can't use incarceration as an excuse for failure to remedy conditions without good cause. In other words, it's not good cause for failure to remedy conditions. And given that, it seems to me the light most favored your client, what we've got here, this, of course, isn't our standard review, but if we were to look at it this
sure.
way, your client, doesn't know he's a parent until he's told, by the way, you're a father. And
surprise.
Surprise. Now you've got responsibility to raise this child. You're in jail due to your own bad acts. You get out and social services attempts to work with you. That doesn't work out very well. You go back to jail for whatever reason. Bottom line is, at some point, the child needs to be raised by somebody. It ain't the mother, clearly.
No.
The father's not in any position to do so. Not only is he spending most of his time in jail where he can't be a parent in any event, but even while he's out, he's not, meeting the social services halfway here. So at some point, isn't it reasonable to say, it's time to move on here? Isn't that what the General Assembly has contemplated? You got a year to work this thing out, essentially, and if you can't do it in a year, we need to find some people that will parent this child and raise them so that they become, a benefit to society and not detrimental to society?
Judge, I absolutely agree with that, and I would like to just talk about that briefly about the denial of the motion for a continuance. I mean, apparently the child was in the same foster care family very shortly after the department took custody and has remained in that same family during the entire pendency of the case in J&D as well as in circuit court. Moreover, the child was with a half-sibling in that same family. And I think my recollection of the record was that that family was going to petition to adopt. Okay. Now, assuming all those things are my recollection, this is a case in which the child was, although in foster care, was not in foster care limbo, at least in the sense, as I describe that term, was going to go somewhere else, was being bounced around from one family to another. There was a continuous period of time, a relationship had been developed, care was good, as the department said in its brief. Okay, he was meeting all of his milestones, he had been weaned from methadone, all sorts of wonderful things were happening. Now, it would have been different if the child's life was hectic, if you will, in foster care. That was not the case. So the other thing that was interesting is that in the department's brief, dealing with the issue of continuance, that you can't, it would be in a, the trial court is the best person suited to determine whether the motion for a continuance is just for the purpose of delay or to enable the party to fully and fairly, develop their case, or rather to have a fair proceeding. Well, now, interestingly enough, that's exactly, both of those apply in this case. Absolutely, the motion for a continuance was for delay. It was for delay to allow the father an opportunity to prepare, to have an absolute fair hearing. The child would not have been prejudiced The child was in a great situation. I assume once this case is over that those foster parents are going to adopt the child. I mean, you know, and I don't mean to be presumptuous or insinuate. I apologize, but you know, it's the child is doing really well. The whole thing though is this: is that I have no doubt, I have no idea what was behind the motivations of my client for noting an appeal here, but the fact of the matter is, it still puts off his doing so, puts it off the actual adoption. So, for all those reasons, and I understand Judge Humphrey's your remarks. I mean, it is absolutely clear he has demonstrated by his life that he would not be a good father. Okay, but the department has made a process argument as to why his parental rights should be terminated, and I'm making a process argument as to why they should not. And
Thank you, Mr. Angel.
Sir,
if you will also sign the sign-up sheet, and we'll come down and greet counsel.
I've already signed up.
Okay, thank you.